Hallelujah. So glad that everybody is here today. And we're going to celebrate the birth of Jesus in a different way. We are going to allow him to use us to tell others about him. Amen. And so we're going to purpose in our heart that this Christmas season and all throughout next year, we are going to operate greater in the gifts than we've ever operated, so that all men would know that our God truly is the one and only God. Amen? And that his birth was real. His resurrection from the dead is real. And now they have a way back to the Heavenly Father. And we'd probably have to, with a lot of people now on earth, also tell them the story from Adam and Eve. I remember when I was in Amsterdam on a mission trip, and I asked this young couple, do they know who Jesus is? And the young man said, I think I heard of that dude's name somewhere. And I went, yeah, okay, well, do you know who Adam and Eve is? And they said, no. And they were from Germany. They had never heard any of the gospel stories. That's how dark it is in Europe. And so if you don't have time to start from the beginning, then if you're operating in the gifts and God gives you a word for them, and they get healed, you think they're going to want to know more about your God, right? Amen? And that's what it's for. And it's also so that as believers, we'll walk in the power that God intended us to walk in, so that we will not have the enemy try to overcome us, but we're going to overcome the enemy. Amen? Hallelujah. Doesn't mean that challenges won't come, but it means we're going to be ready. And we know we're going to win that battle because the war has already been won by Jesus. Amen? Amen? Okay, so what I did with this outline is I took the liberty to put all three parts, 1, 2, and 3 together so that you would have it. And let's go through for some of you who have not been here for 1 and 2 or tuning in on the internet. You will get this outline when you order the CD because we won't have the video on demand right now. Okay, so the overview is we can walk in power to witness, according to Acts 1:8, to tell others about our faith and demonstrate the kingdom of God, according to John 3:5, 1 John 4:20, and when the Holy Spirit uses us to flow in the 9 gifts of the Spirit, which are listed in 1 Corinthians 12:1 through 13. Now, remember, A, we operate in the 9 gifts of the Spirit as He, God, wills, not as we will, right? And the 3 utterance gifts are supernatural gifts from God. Here's a summary. There's the prophecy to declare or speak a divine revelation. Number 2, there's diverse kinds of tongues. And number 3, interpretation of tongues. There are 3 power gifts, the gift of faith. Then there's number 2, the working of miracles. And number 3, the gifts of healing. So now today we're going to talk about the 3 revelation gifts. They reveal something. Number 1, the word of knowledge is a divine revelation. It's a fact that has happened in the past or is currently happening now, and it's not obtained by intellect. So I always tell people, you know, it's really important that if you want to learn something, we got to make sure that we read it, we write it, we say it, we speak it, and we do it. And so if you have your Bibles with you, then you could look in your Bibles and look these up yourself so that you could see where to find them. In 1 Corinthians 12, Verse 8, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8 says, For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. So here's the example we're going to look at. Go to John 21, verses 5 to 6. And if you want to write your notes down, then you could look them up later. Then it says, Jesus saith unto them, Children, have you any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, the side of righteousness, and you shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. So they weren't able to bring the net up because it was so full, the net was breaking. So when they usually fished, it was on one certain side. It was just their custom, the way the boats were made. So to throw it on the other side was weird, but they obeyed. Because, you know, if they're over a sector, they're thinking, well, there's no fish. If the net's over here, there's going to be fish in this sector. It just doesn't make logical sense, does it? But because of obedience to the word of God, they were able to receive. Okay? So when you get a word from the Lord, obedience, whether or not it's logical, whether or not it makes sense, because remember, the supernatural supersedes fact. It overcomes and it changes things. Okay? So they were given a word, and the knowledge was, where were the fish? They weren't here. They were there. They are on the other side. They're on the right side. And so they obeyed and they got it. Okay? Now, here's another example. Mark 11:2-7, and saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as you be entered into it, you shall find a colt tied. So that is a word of what? Knowledge, because it's a fact that has happened already or is occurring now. Word of knowledge is now, okay? Whereon never man sat, loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why do you this, and you that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met, and they loosed him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, what do you loosing the colt? And they said unto them, even as Jesus has commanded. And they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. So Jesus had a word of knowledge where the colt was to be found. They followed instructions. They did exactly what he said, and then they were able to bring it. Jesus also knew they would inquire, why are you taking this colt? He even prepared them and gave them the answer. So they were all ready, okay? So that was a cool thing. Now, word of knowledge is what? It's a word that you get that's knowledge of now or the past, okay? Now, here's word of wisdom, number two. Supreme intelligence revealing accurate, remember, accurate, divine intervention and supernatural guidance for a future resolution. So something that's going to happen in the future is a word of wisdom. It's going to give that person knowledge of what they should resolve. How are they going to take care of this problem? Here's the wisdom for it, okay? A, oftentimes the word of knowledge reveals a factual situation and the word of wisdom reveals the future outcome. These two gifts paired together function as a prophetic word. 1 Corinthians 12:8. Let's look at that. 1 Corinthians 12:8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, and by the same Spirit. Example, let's go to John 21:5-6. Verses 5 and 6 of John 21. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have you any meat? And they answered, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find it. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Same example we're using to remind you of word of knowledge. There's where the fish are, over on this side. Okay? Now here's another example, Mark 11:2-7. And saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as you enter it, you will find the colt. Remember that one. Okay? So we're reminding you the ones that we just looked at. So the fishes, where to fish, and to get the colt. Okay, now, so that was the word of knowledge is where the colt was. The word of wisdom was coupled with it because they needed to know the solution of how to get Jesus a ride. In those days, a colt was like a Mercedes-Benz, especially a white colt, okay? And you just don't go and get one. They're very expensive. But Jesus had need of a ride into the city because this was the prophecy that he was going to be proclaimed, and he was going to sit on the colt and ride on that colt and go into the city, and then they worshiped him with the palms, right? So the word of wisdom was the solution of how to get his ride. Isn't that cool? So the word of knowledge was, where was that ride and what was it? The white colt, where to go get it. And the word of wisdom was bring it back to Jesus so he could utilize that, okay? So that's the future outcome. Now, discerning of spirits, number three. divine revelation of discernment, insight, understanding, and perception, which include visualization. 1 Corinthians 12:10. To another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, diverse kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. I just want you to see that this is in the Bible, where to find it, okay? Now, let's go understand how to discern, like when the Holy Spirit is moving. We're going to look at Acts 8, verses 27 to 29. He arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Cadence, queen of Ethiopians, who had charge of her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting on his chair, read Isaiah the prophet, and the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to the chariot. So the Spirit of God wanted Philip to go to that chariot. And so he was discerning what the Holy Spirit wanted to do. And he went and he obeyed. Okay, here's another example. Acts 9, 1 through 21. Okay, as we're going through this, I'm going to give you some quizzes. And you're going to be able to look at it and say, what gifts are operating here? Is it prophecy? Is it word of knowledge? Is it word of wisdom? Is it faith? Is it the power gifts of gifts of healing? What's operating here? Okay. All right. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any on his way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And he journeyed and he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. He's telling him he's going to get prophecies and direction. So this is now called an open vision. There are different kinds of visions. This is the highest kind of vision you can have, when your eyes are open and it looks like it's reality. It's so reality that Saul is being affected. He got blinded by the light, fell down, right? He saw Jesus before he got blinded, and he's speaking to him, and he's hearing the conversation. Is that awesome? There's another type of vision where if your eyes are closed and in your mind you're seeing a scene like a movie happen in your mind, or the Lord's speaking to you in your mind, in your thoughts. That's a closed vision, okay? So sometimes there's also vision flashes where you don't hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, but you see something quickly and it's just a picture. You know, remember I told you about the orchid the other day? I was ministering to that lady. I saw an orchid and the Lord told me to tell her that he loved her like an orchid and she raised orchids and that was her favorite flower and loved them, and she thought God abandoned her. But when I said, God loves you like an orchid, she knew, only God knew, that she asked him the week before, if you're real, let me know. Otherwise, are you there? Is that cool? Okay. Now, quiz. What was operating when I got that word? What gift? Was it an occurrence of knowing what she had in her house already? Yes, orchids. Word of knowledge. Okay. And the word of God loves her like an orchid was a word of wisdom, was a resolution or an outcome for the future. Why? Because she needed to know that he loved her so much so that she can continue with her walk with God. It was so confirmed. Okay. Now let's continue with Saul. Verse 7. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. So that means the other guys were hearing Saul talk to Jesus, but they couldn't hear Jesus. But he could, because he's the one that had the gift of that open vision to him. And Saul arose from the earth, so he had fallen down on the ground. And when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. So now he got blinded. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, neither did he eat or drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. And behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. What gifts are operating here that the Lord is showing him? He told him a fact, right? The fact was, go to which street? Straight Street, and inquire of the house of Judas, and find out where's that guy named Saul of Tarsus. And then he said that Saul saw a man coming and praying for him, putting his hands on him, that he might receive sight. So word of knowledge is Straight Street. Word of knowledge is House of Judah. Word of knowledge is go find Saul, lay hands on him, and pray for him. Word of wisdom is what's the final outcome? He's going to regain sight after he lays hands on him. Okay? Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. So Ananias is saying, I don't want to go pray for that guy. He's a terrorist. He's killed a lot of people. I don't want to go pray for that guy. So he's arguing with the Lord. And then he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. Bind means tie up. So he was tying up the Christians and imprisoning them. And verse 15, but the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered in the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul. So now he believes, Brother Saul, because he must have received Jesus when he encountered him. Like, hello, that was like a great encounter. Even Jesus that appeared unto thee. Ah, word of knowledge. How did he know Jesus appeared unto Saul? Word of knowledge. The Lord showed him that. And that's how Saul knew that this was a man of God, because he already foresaw or knew things that he never told him, right? So when you minister to other people and you read their mail, did I tell you that story? Remember when I was in Guatemala, we were door knocking? Remember that one? The guy opened the door and I said, Hi, I want to tell you about the good news of Jesus. And he's closing the door in my face. And the Lord says, Tell him I want to heal his daughter that's on drugs. So I had to be really fast, especially in Spanish. And he goes, How'd you know my daughter was on drugs? How do you know I even have a daughter? I got his attention. That was word of what? Knowledge. Okay. So he opened the door so I could sit down and talk to him, minister to him, get him saved and minister to his daughter. Okay. All right. So let's continue. Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, we're in verse 17, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hast sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight. He didn't say, maybe you're going to get healed of blindness. Did he say that? Did he go in fear and trembling, like, I'm not really sure it's going to work? Because that's what the devil's been putting in everybody's head. I'm sure Ananias went through that as he was walking over there. But he's speaking forth what God told him to do. So the boldness comes, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And he's just going to be obedient. It's God's job to heal. I just have to obey. You just have to obey. So he said, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. So, wow, he's got a big job here. Healed the blind guy, right? Then he has to get him filled with the Holy Ghost. So he must have been saved, or he couldn't have gotten filled with the Holy Ghost. Who wouldn't be saved when Jesus appeared to them, right? Hello? He believed because he saw him. Okay. And verse 18, and immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples, which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound under the chief priest? His job was to go hunt down Christians. And now they're going, how come he's preaching Jesus, the one that he was saying that was sacrilegious and they were persecuting all the Christian Jews. They were Jews, Christian Jews. There weren't Gentiles at this time, okay? And so they were like, what's up? 180-degree turnaround. Now he's a Christian and preaching Jesus instead of preaching against them? Verse 22, but Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is the very Christ. Why? Because he was giving his testimony wherever he went. Just give your testimony if you don't know what else to say. If Jesus has made a difference in your life, just tell somebody. Make a friend. When you make a friend, don't you tell about yourself and you ask about them? And it's better when you're evangelizing to ask them questions to get to know them and get them talking about themselves so that we could share with them what needs they may have, right? So here's an example. Let's go to Acts 19, 11 through 12, moving of the Spirit as well as gifts of healing. God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs of aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. The anointing was so strong on Paul that it spilled out around him on his clothes, that even the very handkerchief that he had, it wasn't a doctrine he was starting. It was so many people needed prayer. He just said, okay, here, go put that on, because he couldn't be at, you know, everywhere at the same time. And that handkerchief had the anointing, which then healed the sick. So we need to be full of the Holy Spirit, and we need to be speaking in tongues more than we've ever spoken in tongues so that we can edify ourselves, grow stronger, and then allow the gifts of the Spirit to flow through us as the Holy Spirit wants to use us. Amen? Now, there's of the activity of demons or angels of God is also discerning of spirits. Acts 16, verses 16 through 19. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. So they made a lot of money off of this gal that was practicing divination. And the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus to come out of her. And he came out the same hour, and when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they were really upset, okay? Because she could no longer operate in witchcraft because the spirit of witchcraft was cast out of her. So guess who they were mad at, okay? So it shows that we have power over demons and devils, but we should not be afraid of them. They're actually afraid of us when we walk in our authority, okay? Examples of Luke 1, 11 through 64. It's the story when Zechariah was told by the angel of God, Gabriel, that his elderly wife Elizabeth was going to conceive a child and to name him John. And so that was a foretelling. It was a prophecy. Okay, so the prophecy came to pass. Now, because Zacharias was in doubt and unbelief, the angel said, you're going to be mute. And he took away his ability to speak until the prophecy came to pass. Now, why was that important? Because God has his plans on this earth. And so for those of us that are not in agreement with those plans, we can cancel them with our words. Negative words of doubt and unbelief. And so God didn't want to take a chance. So he rather just make Zacharias mute. And so he couldn't say anything negative. He didn't say anything at all. But he did confirm that the boy was supposed to be named John, and he was able to speak afterwards. And now Mary, when the angel Gabriel came to her and told her she was going to conceive the Son of God through supernatural means without knowing a man, she didn't say, there's no way that can happen. I know that they might stone me, so forget about it. She didn't do that. God chose a woman of God that he knew had faith already. He chose the right woman. He chose someone that he knew had control of her mouth. And I know that I'm working on that. A lot of us are working on not letting our mouths cancel our prayers. not be negative. Mary said, "Be it unto me according to your word." Her heart already received it, and her mouth spoke what was in her heart. So we need to watch our words more than anything. Very, very important. When we operate in the gifts, we must only speak what we hear the Spirit of God telling us. Do not add to it. Do not subtract to it. Do not put your own skew on it. We're to be like living tape recorders, okay? So we're just supposed to be the messenger, like secretary takes dictation. She doesn't add anything else. She just reads what she was told. We have to be that submissive because I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. I want him to continue to use me as a vessel of honor, a vessel he can trust, a vessel he knows that my mouth will be his words of a ready writer, okay? And so that's who he's looking for. People who are going to be submissive, people who are going to be obedient, and people who are going to just believe regardless how weird it is. Okay? So now also you can discern in the spirit false doctrines. Let's go to C. False teachings or false prophets, false statements, lies or false ulterior motives, like Acts 5. The story goes from verses 1 through 16. Ananias and Sapphira. There was no reason why they had to tell the elders that they were going to tithe off of the sale of a land. They could have just given an offering. They didn't have to say anything. They could have just done it anonymously or whatever. But once they said it, then they were accountable for it. And in their heart motives, they just wanted to look good in front of everybody and like, oh, they're such big shots. Oh, wow, look at what they're doing. Everybody was like admiring what they were doing, getting a pat on the back. That's what they did it for. They were prideful. They wanted the fame of it to look really good and really religious and really holy that they're doing something for God. But in their hearts, they didn't want to do it. In their hearts, they knew they weren't going to do it. You think that the penalty would have been that great if it was just a little mistake? God would have forgiven them. This was a pre-planned thing. So it was sin against the Holy Spirit. And God wanted to show the example that you should not grieve the Holy Spirit. But they brought this upon themselves. Because when they lied to that degree and they sinned, it opened up the door for demons to attack them. Okay? So sin brings destruction and death, and we saw that in this example, and they fell down dead in front of the congregation. Well, I don't think anybody else lied in that congregation after that. Okay, so that was a harsh example, but it just shows that we have to be open and honest to God. Amen? And then if we blow it, repent right away, right? Okay, now there's another example. There was a guy named Harold Camping. And he called himself a prophet, and he predicted that the world would come to an end May 21st, 2011. Well, we're in 2014. That didn't happen, so I don't think that he was hearing from the right spirit, okay? And there are familiar spirits that will try to hinder Christians. As we keep getting cleansed and cleansed and cleansed, we will hear the voice of God clear and clear and clearer. I know many people that say to me, but God told me to do this, and it didn't pan out. And then I said, well, what happened? Was God wrong or were you wrong? Which one was it? And if I thought something was of God and it didn't work out, then I had to go back and say, where did I miss it? Because God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? So if there's something wrong, then I have to go back and say, okay, I thought that was the voice of God. Has that ever happened to anybody else? You honestly thought that was God leading you to do something and it didn't work out? Am I the only one in this room? Okay. And that was not the Spirit of God. There are religious spirits. There are familiar spirits. And we have to grow so close to God that we can discern His voice. So if something's not working in your life, it probably was what you thought was God, because maybe it was a thought that I wanted. Maybe it was a goal I desired. And I wanted it so badly that it seemed like it was God. Okay? So you'll know by the fruit of the outcome, right? If it all works out together and comes into play and aligns itself, then I know that I'm hearing right from the Lord, okay? So your track record, when you get a word of knowledge, word of wisdom, prophecy from the Lord, or when you feel that you're operating gifts of the Spirit, what is your success rate? Why do we go to, you know, look at stats of a doctor and say, okay, he's done 10,000 surgeries, 9,000 were successful. That's a pretty good surgeon. Okay, that guy did 10,000 surgeries, only 3 were successful. Which one are you going to go to? How many lawsuits are against this guy? Well, there's 21 lawsuits against this guy and 0 against the other. Duh. Okay. So my track record, you know, people say, you know, so many people boast about how good they are. But then you look in the world and you look at a resume, and a resume tells you how good they are, whether or not to hire them. Why do Christians have to listen to the devil and say that's pridefulness? It's not. It's skills. How skilled is that person? So I know that person is experienced enough to be able to help me. Does that make sense? So when someone's giving their testimony, don't look at them as boasting. Praise God with them, because they're sharing what the Lord did for them so he could do it through you and to you as well. Amen? Amen. The devil's going to come and say, oh, that person's full of pride and just boasting of him or herself, man. What, do they want me to feel inferior because I can't do that? That's the devil. God ordained testimonies so that people would know that they can arise to that level as well. Get encouraged and get excited that you could do what Jesus did, and greater things will you do than he did. Amen? Amen. So let's turn around our attitude and see how demons work. And we're not going to let them take away the wonderful things that God has done for someone, because I want to hear every testimony of every person and rejoice with you. Amen? That's going to build my faith up in areas that I might be weak in. And even if I'm strong in an area, it's going to strengthen me even more. Do you know, my husband loves baseball, so I've learned a little bit about it. And I know that they have stats. They have baseball cards, I would say. What's the big deal about those cards? It was so boring to me. And all the boys, they collect the cards, and then they're priceless, and then some can get a lot of money for this or that or whatever. And all it is their stats. How many errors? Geez, do you want everybody to know how many errors you've made in your life? I don't. But God has them in the book of life. You know, the sports guys, they know their errors are going to be published, right? That means how many mistakes did they make? How many hits did they make? You know, how many times did they hit the ball? How many runs did they get in? How many home runs? You know, how many times did they have fouls or whatever like that? The ball's coming and that, you know, their glove didn't catch it right and it fell on the floor. You know, well, the whole world saw it on TV anyway. Might as well put it on a card, you know. But we don't look at that. We're like, I don't want anybody to see my mistakes. I'm too embarrassed. I'm too ashamed. But if someone doesn't take a look at my mistakes, I will not know how to get better. If they don't see the areas in which I need to improve, I can never improve. Because it's just going to be hidden and it's always going to be a weak area. If I put down my pride and I say, okay, one way to be coachable, one way to be taught is for someone to tell me my mistakes, I'm going to welcome it. Because there's a scripture that says God reproves or corrects the ones he loves. Whoa. That means if you're not being corrected, maybe he doesn't love you as much. No, he does love you just as much. But you don't love hearing about those corrections. That's the problem. We got to do an attitude change. We got to say, Lord, show me my mistakes. Show me my weaknesses. Use the pastor. Use the leaders to make known to me in a constructive way where I need to improve. And if someone comes up to me and says, Karen, you need to change this area, and I go, no, I don't. Guess what that is? It's pride and uncoachability because I'm not even listening. I don't think you're right because I don't see it that way. Well, unaware sins, remember the saying, if someone has bad breath, everybody in the room knows it but him, right? And if someone comes up and says, here, would you like a mitten? He says, no, thank you. I'd say, you know what? You really need two. And if that guy leaves the church, oh, well, less bad breath in the church. No, I'm just kidding. We're just going to love people through, you know, but people get offended because they don't want to hear the truth. But it says the truth sets us free. So we have to walk in discernment of ourselves, not just of others. It's so easy to look at somebody else and say, oh, I'm discerning that person is depressed. But if someone came up to that person and says, are you depressed? What? Or maybe you don't want anybody to know. See the difference? So we have to just not be looking at the other person, the speck in their eye, but we have a beam in our eye. We've got to remove that and say, okay, Lord, I cannot operate in your glory if I don't know where I need to improve. And God's not going to judge you, and the people here at ABC aren't going to judge you. They're not going to say, oh man, that person blew it. They thought they had a word of knowledge and they were wrong. They're going to say, you know what? You're trying. Now, maybe that wasn't exactly right, but you were on the right road to want to be used by God. Let's see how God could use you better next time. Because we're never going to learn unless we practice. You know, anybody gotten out on the dance floor? If they say, put the right foot left over the left, put the left foot out, right? And then put the left foot back and the right foot over. And it sounds okay, but you don't get up and do it. It's going to be hard for you to do it at home by yourself. It's better to do it with somebody. And then pretty soon, you're doing those Jewish steps. Okay. And at first, it's a little embarrassing because some people are like, I have two left feet. Well, if you keep saying that, you'll never dance right. Remember? Watch your words. Let's RRB, repent, renounce, and break that. So I can do all things through Christ Jesus. So when I asked for hands last time when we were going through the gifts last week of who are able to minister gift of faith, working of miracles, and gifts of healings, very few hands went up the first round. But then we switched prayer partners, remember? And at the end of the service, Pastor Josh and Pastor Sarah probably saw this too. We had a whole bunch of hands go up that wanted to give testimonies. Is that true? How many people came up to the front? Not a lot, because people are scared of getting up and telling something. And what if it didn't actually happen that way? Or, oh, I don't know. You know, so the devil wants to take away confidence so that we don't operate in the gifts. And that's fear. But we don't have a spirit of fear. We have a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. Okay? So, we've got lots of testimonies because I saw those hands go up. So, I want some emails if we don't get time to hear all of them. If you can send emails to ABC, because that's important, because we see what God is doing through you and for you, and it encourages other people. Amen? Okay, so I'm going to give you some tests today. Okay, we learned about all nine gifts already. So I'm going to give you some examples. Okay, here's an example. I'm going to use some old examples so that it's easier for you to utilize the analyzation, okay? All right, remember one time when God sent me to minister to this dentist who wasn't wearing goggles when he was cleaning somebody's teeth, and the patient had HIV and the spit went in his eye when he was cleaning the patient's teeth. Resulted in having HIV, he was on his deathbed, he developed leukemia, blindness, and deafness, and went into a coma. And the Lord told me to go pray for him. And I went, what? Why'd you have to give me a hard one? You couldn't give me a little easy one, like someone that had just a little back pain, right? No. So I said, okay, Lord, I'll go over there. And the Lord says, by the way, I want you to give him a message. And he gave me the message. So I go over there to the house. He's in a hospital bed with IVs and tubes and nurses and everything. And then I find out he's in a coma. He can't hear me because he's deaf. And he has hours to expire. They sent him home to die. He's already been declared. They had his funeral suit hanging up. They already picked the songs and everything. I mean, they had the burial plot. They had, they're just waiting for him to pass, but he didn't want to pass in the hospital. He would rather pass at home. So I knew he was a believer. He went to a specific church that I knew of, so I anointed him with oil, and I prayed James 5:14-16 over him, and he wakes up out of the coma, and he says, is that you, Sister Karen? Met him once in my life. So what just happened? His ears just opened up to hear me. Deafness left. And then he couldn't quite see me yet. I said, yes, it's me. I said, you know what? I had just spoken a message to you from God, to your spirit, because the spirit's never asleep. But now I'm going to speak it to you again so your ears could hear it. And he started to cry and he said, only God would know that. I have never spoken that topic to anyone but God, and you just gave me the answer and to tell me that my call is not done. I'm going to fulfill my call on this earth. Then he was able to sit up. Everyone was rejoicing. He ate, went to the doctors, could not find a drop of leukemia in his blood. The eyesight came back in about a week or two, and he was able to go back to Bible college and graduate. Praise the Lord. Isn't God awesome? Now, what if I was scared and said, I'm not going over there. I'm not going to do that. That's too big. Well, I almost said that. But I drove over there anyway, and I was like, okay, God, you got to come through. I'm just going to do what you said. You're just going to have to come through. Okay? And so what gifts were operating? See, which ones? Word of knowledge, because I found out there was a guy who was needing prayer. Good. What else? Word of wisdom always works with word of knowledge, right? Because the Lord showed me he was going to be healed. But what other gifts had to operate when I actually walked in? Gift of faith, because the guy was already really challenged, okay? And he had so many things going on. So I had to go in, and God had dropped that faith in my heart. I just walked in, and I was just going to do it, and I knew God was going to do it. When you know that you know that you know, that's gift of faith. If you go in going, oh, I'm not sure, you know, I mean, because that was a thought that came at first, but it passed. You know what I'm saying? I had to reject the thought of, what if it doesn't work when I'm driving over there? And as I'm driving, I'm like, yeah, man, thank you, Lord. That guy's healed by the stripes of Jesus. I was so excited on the way over there. I just saw him already healed. That's gift of faith. You see what I'm saying? And it was a miracle because God had to undo what man could not do. So he had miracles and he also had gifts of healing because God reversed some things. Like leukemia, that was a miracle because man doesn't know how to eradicate leukemia, right? Only God. Gifts of healings, all right? So he was also in a coma. That was a miracle. He came out of the coma, right? But his ears were opened up. He still had his eardrums and everything. Gifts of healings, deafness gone, blindness come back. So there's a lot of things operating there. So it's kind of cool when you do something to analyze how God's using you, okay? And the prophecy was the word that was given to him of his destiny would be fulfilled. And it was. Okay, so a lot of things happening there. All right, now, what gift is this? I've heard of in other places this happening. It's so cool. We were in the early 90s, doing an outdoor crusade, and a huge hurricane was stirring up in the Caribbean. We were in the north part of Guatemala where the Caribbean is. And the hurricane decided to turn and come inland into Guatemala. It was supposed to go towards, because it was in the Gulf of Mexico, towards Texas, and it decided to come this side of the north side of Guatemala. And we were told by God to have an outdoor crusade. So we obeyed and we went. We set it all up. We have our instruments, you know, our band, our worship leaders, our evangelists there, the whole thing. And for the first time, a lot of missionaries had gone to work in this area. And this happened a lot when God sent our team into areas. Other missionaries and even very famous preachers would try to gather up the churches to do crusades in the area. And they were so full of strife, they couldn't do it. And God would use us to go in and unite and bring pastoral associations together so that we could together preach the gospel and evangelize. So again, it happened here. Instead of having it in one church, because then none of the other pastors would go to that church because they were all jealous, we had it in the square, the town square in the center of the town. Now there's hundreds of people coming into the square, and there's probably 400 or 500 people. And these big, huge, billowing rain clouds are coming with lightning and thunder and 75-mile-an-hour winds. We see it coming from the ocean, and the Lord says, gather the pastors together. This is in my head. Thoughts are in my head. It's not out loud. Okay. And he says, and I want you to show them how to take authority in Christ over their situation. Said, okay, pastors, come on here. Do you see the thunderstorm and the hurricane coming? Yeah, we got to get out of here. All of our equipment's going to be ruined. There's no overhang over our equipment, nothing. We're just out in the open air, okay? I said, nope. God told us to have it. And God's not a liar. He knew the date. He knew what would happen on the date. We're not going anywhere. So I said, in the name of Jesus, hurricane, go back out to sea. And it reversed itself. And it started to rain in torrents all around the square. And in order to get out of the rain, they had to come into our meeting. Not one sound equipment got rained on. And we preached the gospel. Many people got saved. Many people got healed. Many people got delivered. And then we handed out all the cards of the saved people to the preachers, and their churches grew in one day, 50%, some 100%. Okay, so what was operating? What gifts? Word and knowledge, because the Lord told us to go on that date, right? What else? Gift of faith, like a speak to the hurricane. You had to know by faith it was going to obey, supernatural faith. Okay, what else? Okay, but do you see how we're analyzing? And how you see things occurring, right? So that you could operate. And if we don't hear the voice of God well, it's going to be difficult to discern his voice as opposed to our voice or the devil pretending to be God or our own voices, right? So, see, you could do all this stuff because you have the same Jesus, same Holy Spirit. And those of you that have not had any experience, we're getting you started. It's so exciting. Very exciting. And I love to get a word from somebody who it's like their first time. It's like a fresh manna. It's so cool. I love for people to pray for me. Okay? So let's break up into groups. Are we all paired up now? Okay. All right. So remember, if you don't have anything right away, because now we're going to be operating word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits today, okay? So ask the Holy Spirit to help you operate in that. Let's just all pray a group prayer together. Say, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I repent of any sins that I'm not aware of, and those that have living parents, and the sins of my ancestors. And if anyone's scared or not feeling confident, you can repent of that sin or any other sins. And I repent of any other sins. And then you can just whisper them under your breath. Okay. And I receive forgiveness for all these sins. I renounce the legal right of Satan to those sins. I bind up Satan. You cannot hinder me. Or the way that the Holy Spirit uses me today. And I bind up spirit of fear. You will not operate in me in the name of Jesus. And I break off demonic attachments. And my sins have been washed by the precious blood of Jesus. I come under the protection of the blood of Jesus. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, to fall fresh upon me now. In Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, use me to operate, to be a blessing to my prayer partner and everyone in the future that you want me to minister to with all nine gifts of the Spirit. But today, could you operate in me the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, go ahead and minister to your prayer partner. Okay. All right, time to stop. Okay, if you got a word and didn't get to complete that word, write it down and hand that paper to the person for the word of knowledge, wisdom, or discerning of spirits, okay? Now, discerning of spirits can also be when God wants you to cast demons out, especially out of a home, okay? Like when you're praying for somewhere. We had gone into a home to pray for this little girl, and we want to be respectful, and the lights weren't on. And I just really felt like I needed to bind up a demon that was in this right corner here and bind and cast it out. And then I was invited by Pastor Joshua and Pastor Sarah and Deborah. Was also invited. Pastor Sarah and Deborah and I were praying in the little girl's room, and Pastor Joshua was ministering to the family in the living room. And Deborah said, you know, like right after I felt that, she goes, there's a demon over this side, just as I was feeling over the same area. And then we heard something move in the room. And then Pastor Sarah says, why don't we turn on the light? And we're like, duh. So she turns on the light. And there in that corner is an idol on the bottom shelf that we couldn't see. So we discerned it prior to seeing it with our eyes, but it was confirmed. So then we were doing three witnessing over the room, and we were able to cast that out. So God wants us to operate in these gifts so that we're able to be used more powerfully for Him to help that little girl not have nightmares anymore. And Pastor Joshua ministered to the little girl and the family afterwards. But it was really important where we were going in the house to know that we were discerning the right things to pray and where to pray. Amen? Okay. Now, who was used to give a word of knowledge or word of wisdom or discerning of spirits for your prayer partner? I see the prayer partner holding up Ann's hand, so Ann's going to go first. Ann, would you like to come up and...
Well, I just prayed first, of course, and I just got a couple of ideas and just had to ask. And I prayed first, not asked. I prayed over those areas, not knowing if I was right or wrong or out in left field or what, but she confirmed each and every one. So I thank God.
Amen.
It came through.
Did a good job. Okay. Who else was used by God to bless your prayer partner? Yoel, you want to come on up? Here we go.
It's last week. This week was awesome. And last week, Pastor James was my prayer partner. And the Lord gave me a word of knowledge that only he had only spoken to Pastor Karen that knew what that was. And I was like, man, that was really cool, because that's the first time I've ever done that, operated in that particular gift, and that was very cool. And he spoke, and this week was Bill, and it was just awesome, the word that he gave me that was really encouraging. also with boldness last week, when Pastora Karen said, be bold, I had an opportunity at one of my job sites to, we were fixing a water leak, and the neighbor, I ended up ministering to him. So he said, oh no, he knows construction for all these 30 years, blah, 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 blah. And this won't work. I was like, well, you know, the Holy Spirit told me to do this, and the Holy Spirit told me to do that. So if the Holy Spirit told me, then it must work. Well, God is not in concrete. I was like, aha! He doesn't work with concrete. So I was like, so you admit that this is an impossible situation? So he says, yes. So I was like, well, watch a miracle. You're about to see a miracle. So anyway, so we did what we did, and it rained the next day, and there was no water. And actually, he had given me a note, and I didn't even read it until a couple days ago. So he was like, can you give me the address of your church? So he will be here at some point. So I have to. So praise God.
Amen.
I wouldn't have had the boldness before to have done that.
Amen. Well, number one, she proclaimed what she knew in her heart that God wanted to do. So it was a word of knowledge. And she was acting on that with the word of wisdom, the resolution. So now that was a sign unto the unbeliever, because it actually, the impossible worked. And now he wants to find out more about God. See, it's how God wants to use each and every one of us. And thank you for letting God use you to do a short testimony. Yoel, that was another miracle. Very good. See, we're all growing. Okay, now you're going to switch prayer partners. Sometimes people say, I really am not feeling like I'm receiving anything for the other person. So just go ahead and start to pray for them. And as you pray, God will use your prayers to be what you just asked him to minister. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, or discerning of spirits. Okay? So if you feel stuck, just go ahead and pray for him. And it'll just come out of you, your spirit. But you're taking that faith action plan to start speaking and letting the Holy Spirit use you, okay? Okay, time's up. Now, I want to practice speaking in tongues for a little while. And then after you speak in tongues, I'm going to ask the Lord to give you a revelation for yourself. So now we're going to pray in tongues for a little while, out loud. And I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to give you a revelation that he's going to pray through you to God. And I'm going to ask him that that prayer would be for yourself. And then he would give you a revelation in your thoughts or of a vision or words or something of what you've been praying out of what he wants for your life. Amen? Okay. So let's just pray. Shokoriana dara shantara bashantara basantara kasantara kashekere akirio kumbra bara sere brekirio kondara bashantara 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 bashere brekirio kobra papa sandoro korra mama sandere kiria bara shantara bas. Okay, so now let's just be quiet, no one talking, and just have your ears open to hear the Holy Spirit in your thoughts, okay? No one talking. And I suggest if you got a word for yourself, you write it down so you remember it. Put today's date on it. Okay? If you don't have anything to write with, then try to remember it when you get home. Now, with a show of hands, how many people received ministry today? And how many people were used by God to minister to somebody today? Amen. And has this helped you? Has this been a blessing to you? Amen. All right. Well, I'm hoping that we can have more workshops in the future. And I just thank Pastor Joshua for allowing me to have the privilege to come and minister and help everyone grow to our next level. All of us need to keep growing. Amen. Praise God.